The game is in the books, and the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show is on the air on the Blackhawks Radio Network.
Welcome into the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show. Charlie Meliotis here at the United Center. The Blackhawks losing to the Minnesota Wild 4-3 in overtime. And let's just get right to it. We're talking about another controversial call that went against the Blackhawks. I'm looping in John Weidemann and Chris Chelios to talk about that call that obviously led to Minnesota getting the power play. The Wild capitalize, Hawks lose. I mean, I see what the official was looking at for interference, but I mean, I think Joel Eriksson-Ek actually made contact with the puck, and so I feel like he was fair game. Chris, you thought it was not a penalty in real time?
I think there's no question the referee probably thought that Mikhaev was retaliating for the
right.
Bedard hit, and the referee wasn't looking where the puck was. He just saw Mikhaev, you know,
yeah, that's
go
a great
there
point.
And roll him over. So in his defense, I'll give him that, but, you know, it was a clean hit by Mikhaev. It wasn't high. And if anything, he might have laid off him a little bit, just like Ek did on Bedard. He could have cleaned his clock, and he kind of let off on him too. So, but it's unfortunate when games are decided like by a penalty and on a power play. But again, I don't think nothing to be down about. They played a good game. It's just frustrating to give that away and lose it at home like they did in the end.
I agree with Chris's assessment. I really don't have anything to add. I think I kind of vented my spleen at the time, Charlie. So I would like to see no penalty called in that situation and let them play on.
Well, I think the frustration stems from it feels like a lot of calls have been going against Chicago. Now, I don't want to sound like a homer when I say this because I feel like every team in the NHL can say the same thing about their team. But you go back to the Seattle game from Thursday night. Connor is on a breakaway. He gets the slash on Ryan Lindgren. Ryan Lindgren slashes him. There's no call, and then Connor gets penalized for arguing with the officials. Seattle scores on that power play. And then the next night in Buffalo, Tyler Bertuzzi takes a high stick 40 seconds into the game. Yep. No penalty call. Hawks end up giving up 3 goals in the first period. But if the Hawks get a power play there and they score, because I think they were like 50% in their last 12 opportunities, maybe it's a different game. And then there was an earlier game, the Tyler Bertuzzi against Vancouver, controversial challenge, didn't go their way. It just feels like, I'm curious to hear what Jeff Blashill has to say after this, because I feel like he's getting close to wanting to cross the line into getting into potentially fine territory. Like, you have to be careful about what you say. But it just feels like every night we're talking about a call that was not a penalty and it goes against Chicago.
When you're on the ice, and I'm learning that now by sitting up here in the booth with you guys, you have a different angle of things, the speed. Up here you have the luxury of seeing slowing things down. And, you know, you talk about the calls that weren't called, but then I think back to the play where Connor Murphy got into his fight. He did get the kid all twisted up with his stick and kind of got him off balance. And he pushed him into the boards in an awkward position. So that was a missed call by the referees too, but when you lose and it multiplies, and of course, you know, Minnesota being the better team in the standings, you kind of earn that respect from the refs in that sense too, and that's all part of it. The Hawks are an up and coming team and playing better, but you don't get those calls sometimes when you're the underdog.
I thought it was interesting watching the Blackhawks bench after that overtime goal went in from Kirill Kaprizov. I mean, Jeff Blashill is like staring down the
daggers.
Officials. I mean, he's instructing his team to get inside the locker room because he still wanted to be staring at the officials as they skated off. And so I can imagine his frustration too, because I mean, the Hawks are now, they've dropped 4 in a row, but it feels like the Seattle game, the Hawks were up 2-0. If that call goes their way where there's no penalty, maybe the Hawks are still riding high from their point streak, but now they've lost 4 in a row, and you can almost pinpoint the Bedard no call and him getting an abuse of the officials unsportsmanlike as like the turning point of the Hawks losing 4 in a row. Am I reading too much into that, Chris?
I know, it's a crazy game. The momentum swings, and then you look back at the offside, the call on the offsides, and just the inches of which would have been a 3-0 game, right? And then who knows, the Hawks just take off and win by 5. Who knows? But that's just the way this game goes. And, you know, you could get outplayed for 2 periods and still win the game. That's the beauty of the game. And, They did play a complete 60 minutes, in my opinion, in this game, is against a really good Minnesota team.
I concur with all of that. The only thing I'll say in the officials' defense is that they've got to get everything right in real time. I mean, that's a really hard thing to do. And the offside call, I agree with Chris. I think that really deflated the Blackhawks' balloon at that particular time, and it seemed like the Wild seized on that change in momentum. And, you know, it could have been 3-0. Instead, it ended up being 2-2. Now we're in overtime, and now it's really anybody's game. It's anybody's extra point. So it's hard to predict what the swings are going to be, the ebbs and flows, the yin and the yang in any kind of a hockey game. So
yeah, and you talk about, you know, we have a defensive faceoff. We win the faceoff clean. They bump it to defensemen. Faber pinches, and all of a sudden they get a goal in the last minute, which is a kiss of death usually going into the next period. And then Crevy, unfortunately, you know, throws the puck over the glass and starts out the third period shorthanded. So that kind of took the wind out of their sails. It has to. It just does. And it just, like you said, it's just incredible that they could play such a good game, and then, you know, this happens.
Yeah.
This all happened, by the way, on a night when the Blackhawks were 57% at the dot. Jason Dickinson, I mentioned him a number of times, Chris. 13 for 21 on draws, 62%. I'm looking at a couple of the other. Ryan Green, 6 for 8. I mean, they had guys that were winning faceoffs and getting puck possession, which kept it away from the Wild so that they couldn't do what they do best. So, you know, all the factors seem to be playing in the Blackhawks' favor, but as Chris said, it's a 60-minute-plus game, and you got to play all those 60 minutes.
Yeah, well, for me, I'm old school. Forget those analytics. Just win the game. You know, you got to do something good, but at the end of the day, you just got to outscore them somehow. And, you know, we got really good goaltending from Knight again tonight. Gustafson, again, he kept him in there those first two periods, yeah, in my opinion, and but again, you got to get traffic, and they have to do a much better job. I know Donato and these guys don't have a lot of size and a few of the players, but they've got to find a way. Those big body guys got to get to the net. I think that's a big weakness with the Hawks right now, and they have to understand that.
Yeah. You would have that perspective too, because when you played, you were fighting guys in front of the net who were trying to do that very thing.
Yeah, just bodies. And that, you know, you see deflections, you call them lucky. They're not lucky goals. You know, that's the idea, is to get traffic, and those bounces, they're going to go in.
I will give the officials credit. In Sunday's game, the Tyler Bertuzzi, they thought he, you know, was penalized, and he goes to the box, and the officials huddled up, and they decided to overturn it. But that was another thing that just popped into my mind, is that came down. Anyway, John, you made a great point. When the Hawks were up 2-0, they thought they scored to make it 3-0. Minnesota challenges for offside. It's very clearly offside, but it's so unfortunate because Bertuzzi's watching Bedard and making sure that he doesn't enter the zone too prematurely. But Bedard, he's so good on his edges that he stops so quickly without getting the puck over to the blue line first. And so, man, if the Hawks score there, it almost feels like that probably would have put the game away, because the way the game was going, Hawks are up 3-0. Shots were like 30-14 at one point in favor of Chicago. Like, maybe Minnesota just mentally checks out and they're like, all right, it's not our night.
Yeah.
But then they score the goal late in the second to get the power play in the third, and it's like, all right, now they have life, and they took it away from there.
Right, exactly. They had a long road trip, very successful road trip, but then again, 3-0, it's easy to say, okay, we've hit the wall, blah, blah, blah. But they, you know, give them some credit, you know, to come back like they did. And in the third period, pretty even as far as zone time, I would think. But we didn't give up a whole lot, quite honestly. It's just a few miscues. Fortunate that we left some guys alone in front. You saw the Boley goal when he was all alone in front. But
yeah,
other than that, you know, no miscues, quite honestly.
Boys, I hope you both have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Charlie.
Well, Charlie.
Same to you.
Absolutely.
You and your family, and to all the Blackhawk fans that are listening right now, we wish all of you a safe, happy, healthy, and prosperous. I'll go ahead and throw that in there. Thanksgiving. Chris, great working with you again
tonight.
Yeah, you
too, John. Charlie, thank you. Yeah.
Yep.
Great pleasure.
All right.
Finally, Artem Levchinov has found the back of the net for his first career NHL goal after having 0 in his first 39 NHL games. Boy, he has gotten so close all season long. And it's actually funny. I was talking to him yesterday after practice, and I went up to him. We were just having a little conversation, and he was talking about how he admitted that he might have been like a little bit too deferential on the power play, giving it to Connor Bedard. And that was the power play is something that they had been working on on Monday and Tuesday, and they were practicing Bedard dropping it back to Lefschenoff and letting Lefschenoff really fire the puck, because he really does have a bomb of a shot. And so I kind of encouraged him to shoot the puck a little bit more, and he was acknowledging that that's what he needed to do. And before I left, I said, you're getting your first NHL goal either today or Friday. Or so I said, Wednesday or Friday. I was like, book it. And sure enough, he gets it on Wednesday. So I can't wait to see him on Friday morning. I think he's going to be really excited to see me, because I feel like I gave him some positive juju. But he did speak to the media after this game, even though it came in a loss. Let's hear what Artem Lefschenoff had to say after this game.
Yeah, I was excited. I just got my first goal. So happy that, yeah, it's for sure we lost. But yeah, it was a good game for me. And then, yeah, what goes on.
How frustrating was that, the way it all ended?
Yeah, I mean, it's always sucks when you lose, I think. What goes on, I don't know. Just, yeah, super excited to score and, yeah, continue to work with the team. And so it's another step.
This is two straight games that you guys played very well and didn't come away with a win. What's the team mindset? Like, what are you guys thinking after that?
Just, yeah, what goes on. I mean, too much. Continue to work and to clean some our mistakes in defense and, move forward.
You thought you were going to celebrate a little more wildly after that first goal. Your assist, you celebrate bigger than that.
I wanted to win, so celebrate, you know, but still super excited. And, yeah.
You had a couple of posts today, too. I mean, do you feel like you're...
I know.
The shot's coming?
Yeah, I could score two, like, my first. And, when I shoot, I have more chances for sure.
All right, that was Blackhawks rookie defenseman Artem Lefschenoff. Unfortunately, his first career NHL goal came in a loss. It feels like a little bit of a buzzkill when you can get your first NHL goal, but then it comes in a loss. Like Oliver Moore had his earlier in the year, and it came in a big win, and it was kind of like just adding on to the goal party that the Blackhawks had that day, and so it was a positive feeling. And so you could tell how excited he was. I imagine that's a huge weight lifted off of his shoulders with how many chances he's gotten. How many posts did the Blackhawks hit tonight? It felt like four, and Lefschenoff, I think, hit two of them. So, man, he was all over it. He's had several chances in games in the past, but it was nice to see that he finally found the back of the net for his first career NHL goal. Hawks fall to the Minnesota Wild 4-3 in overtime. Another heartbreaker, frustrating loss that feels like the officiating played some sort of role again. I won't say it was all the officiating, but it definitely, in that moment in overtime, it was the hot topic, the big turning point in the game. Let's get to tonight's Ice Time, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. It was Alex Vlasic leading the way for the Blackhawks in the Ice Time department with 22.50 of Ice Time. 1 second behind him is Connor Bedard at 22.49 for the Blackhawks. They were the only two Blackhawk players that finished north of 20 minutes. Speaking of Connor Bedard, he did speak to the media. He scored his 14th goal of the season and added an assist. Let's hear what he had to say after this game.
Is it not to get two out of that one?
Yeah, it sucks. I thought we played a pretty good game, but just little mistakes that we'll clean up. And overall, I thought there's a lot of positives to take away, but in the end, obviously, you got to come out with the two.
It's two straight games like that where you feel like you deserved to win but didn't. What's the team's mindset after games like that?
Immediately after, you're always going to be frustrated after a loss. But, I think there's so many games. You can't take every game as a game seven. But, at the end of the day, it's everyone in our conference, in our division is so tight. And every point matters, so we got to figure out how to win. But, end of the day, it's over now. We gotta, see what went right, see what went wrong, and just keep improving.
How exciting was it for Lefschenoff to get his first?
Yeah, that was amazing to see. He played an amazing game today, and he hit the post and had some looks, and he's had so many looks. So it's awesome to see anyone get there first. But he's just been getting better every single game, and been a stud for us, so it's exciting to see.
9 out of 10 defensemen are just shooting it from the circle there, but he makes the move. Like, mm-hmm. is that kind of what makes him special? He's got those offensive instincts?
Yeah, just so poised. You know, he never panics. His heart rate's got to be 25, 30 during the game, and that's something that you can't teach. And, you know, seeing some of the plays he makes where he's under pressure and he's never rushing and never panicked. And, yeah, like I said, that's not something you can work on that much or teach someone to do. It's just you have it or you don't, and he has it. So, you know, we're lucky to have him, and he's just going to keep getting better.
What do you think the challenge has been with the lead protection in some of the recent games?
What do you
I think it's 3 of the last 5. There's been a 2-0 lead that's...
Oh, lead away. Protection.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I misheard you. Yeah, like I said, I think just little things. Like, I mean, I'll put that one on myself. You know, I think I was on for every goal against. And, you know, I lose Boldy there for the tire. And it's just little stuff like that. And, you know, so just that's something there we're all going to get better at. I'm going to get better at. And, yeah, it's just not making those mistakes and giving them those easy goals.
What do you think of the penalty in overtime?
I don't know. I mean, I got flattened, so I didn't get to see it. The hit on me was a great hit, super clean. And, you know, maybe the puck was kind of in his feet or something, and Mickey makes a great hit. But at the end of the day, we're not going to blame the refs, you know. They got a job to do. It's not always easy for them. And, you know, we can't just go watch it and say it should have been not called, because in reality, that's not what happened. So I don't have much to say. I'd have to watch it. But, you know, they're professionals, and they see it, and they're going to make the call as they see it.
How nice was Rinsdahl's pass on your goal?
Yeah, it was beautiful. I think, you know, Bert as well makes a great play to Rins, and then, you know, a lot of guys in the league are shooting that, kind of like I talked about with Artie, just the patience and awareness to not just rip it and panic in moments like those. And, you know, I was able to get a really easy goal there, and it's a great play by him.
All right, that was Blackhawks alternate captain, Connor Bedard. Really mature response and taking the high road on the call from Ilya Mikheyev, and kind of making a joke about how he got flattened, and he obviously didn't see it because it came immediately after the retaliation, or Mikheyev retaliated from the hit by Bedard, and Connor said it was a great hit, super clean, the one that Joel Eriksson-Ek got on him, and saying like we're not going to blame the refs. They've got a job to do. It's not always easy for them. So I thought it was a mature response. My only issue with the hit itself is the puck was at Joel Eriksson-Ek's feet, and that's the exact play that Ryan Lindgren lined up. Well, not maybe exactly, but Ryan Lindgren lined up Andrei Burakovsky a few games ago against Seattle that knocked out Burakovsky for 3 games while he's been dealing with an injury, and he was a game time decision tonight. Didn't end up playing, but the puck was at Burakovsky's feet, and that's kind of exactly what happened at center ice in overtime with Joel Eriksson-Ek. Like, the puck was at his feet, and it kind of looked like he made stick contact. I thought Chris Chelios brought a great point that his like the official probably just saw the retaliation of Mikheyev's hit and didn't realize where the puck was, because as soon as he saw Connor get hit, the official is probably immediately looking at which player is swarming in to try to knock off Joel Eriksson-Ek. And so that's probably what he saw. I don't know, man. I have a hard time with this, because I almost like feel like I'm losing objectivity on watching these calls, because I've seen so many of them go the other way against Chicago that are very clearly not 50-50 calls. Like, they're just simply not penalties. And so I almost don't even know how to react to this one. And that's why I kind of deferred to Chris Chelios, and he didn't think it was a penalty. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to debate you. And I kind of agree with you with what I saw. And so, yeah, it's been frustrating. But again, if you go back and watch like a hockey game, I'm sure that if you're a Minnesota Wild fan, you could probably pinpoint a couple plays today that didn't get called that should have been called their way. And so that's why it's hard for me to like really lean into the officiating. But it's just unfortunate that these officiating moments are coming at such crucial times in the game. And so that's where I think the frustration lies, because it feels like the Hawks have just been on the other end of every single one of them. And so anyway, I digress. Hawks fall to the Minnesota Wild 4-3 in overtime. I don't think we're going to have time to get Jeff Blashill in here on this post-game show, because we're coming up on our end here at 11 o'clock. But curious to hear what Jeff is going to say about this game, but also the call that didn't go their way in overtime, because he seemed like he was staring down the officiating crew as the game ended and waited for the Blackhawks to get inside the locker room so he can keep looking at them. And so I'm curious to see what Jeff is going to have to say after this game. Let's dive into a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. How about an off-the-board one? John Mustard, third-round pick, number 67 overall in 2024 by the Blackhawks. He's in his sophomore year at Providence College. He has 12 points, 7 goals, 5 assists in 13 games this season. Last year, he had 20 points, 7 goals, 13 assists in 37 games. So he's already matched his goal total from last year. And I saw something that he could be under consideration for Team Canada's World Junior team. So something to monitor. John Mustard, a third-round pick, off to a nice start in his sophomore year at Providence College. Time now for a next game preview sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Hawks are going to be back in action on Friday at the United Center. It's a 7 o'clock start, so 30 minutes earlier than normal, against the Nashville Predators here at the United Center. And the Predators have been a disaster of a team. They're 1-6-2 in their last 9 games before beating Detroit today 6-3. So they might be coming into the United Center with a little bit of confidence after a big win tonight, but generally they've had a really tough start to this season. I imagine they're going to be a team to watch at the NHL trade deadline. And finally, the black alternate jerseys are making their debut on Friday. Very fitting on the Black Friday game. So come to the United Center and see the black jerseys returning on United Center ice.